Next item, 730, please.
Authorize a 5-year use and occupancy agreement with Atlantic Aviation for hangar space at Portland International Airport through January 31st, 2021 for police air support unit.
All right, come on up. And legal counsel, I had an open question from my team this morning as to whether or not we need to use the script, or given that we've already had a session on this, whether we just have a presentation to update us on any changes.
So I believe the item Carla just read is actually 730, which is not the land.
I'm sorry, that is correct. This is just the ordinance. Sorry.
So you get to the land use.
You're right. This is what happens when I don't sleep 4 days in a row.
I'm sorry.
And who do we have here to present this?
Are we at 730? Is that the one we're doing?
730.
The item you called was 730.
Right.
We can do that, or we can.
Let's do 730 and get it done.
Yeah, I think it's pretty straightforward.
And then move on to the land use hearing.
Okay, very good. Is there somebody here to make a presentation on item 730?
They may be thinking these are coming up after the time certain, the way the agenda is set up.
Ah, very good. Okay, so we'll go to the 728 then.
And then to answer, well, let Carla call.
Okay.
So
728, appeal of Landon Kroll against Design Commission's decision of denial for design review of a new 5- to 6-story, approximately 70-foot-tall, 17-unit apartment building in the Central East Side Subdistrict of the Central City Plan District at 1122 Southeast Ankeny Street, LU16184524DZM.
Okay, now back to my original question.
Yes. So, no, we do not need to run through the whole script. We can start with just a reminder of where we're at.
Okay, so this is an open record.
We should reopen the record, continue the hearing.
We're continuing the hearing. We're opening the record, and there was some discussion at the end of the last session about the appellant meeting with the neighborhood, and my understanding was that Commissioner Fish had been engaged in brokering a Resolutions Northwest discussion. And so I believe we were going to hear about the results of that discussion, if that is the wish of my colleagues.
I think it's going to go to Commissioner Udaly.
Commissioner Udaly?
No.
No?
All right. Is there anybody who would like to tell the City Council where we are with the appeal?
Yeah.
Come on up.
Yes.
Very good. I'm happy to take my vote.
Council, if I could suggest, it might be good to allow BDS staff to just provide a brief update and a status update, and then they can put some information.
Isn't that what I just asked for?
Yes, sorry, but
yeah.
The attorney from was.
Great.
I'd like to start with staff.
Yeah. Come on up.
Tim Heron, Bureau of Development Services.
Good afternoon.
Grace Jeffries. Grace Jeffries, Bureau of Development Services as well. Good afternoon, Mayor.
Thank you. And you're going to walk us through this afternoon's hearing?
I am going to give you a brief update of what has happened since the first and second hearing.
Perfect.
And a very brief kind of review of the case.
Excellent. Thank you.
So quick overview. I'm going to show you a quick recap of the context, show you the quick recap of the proposal, the process, where we are to date, the decision, and the appeal. So if you remember, the site's located in the Central City Plan District and the Central East Side Subdistrict. It's shown there in pink on the diagram. It's located at the far eastern edge of the subdistrict. Because the site lies within these district boundaries, the approval criteria for design review are the Central City Fundamental Design Guidelines and the Special Design Guidelines for the design zone of the Central East Side District. This aerial image shows the change in texture and density of the nearby built environment from the dense commercial and industrial central east side area shown on the left and the commercial area along Sandy above to the less densely built residential neighborhoods to the shown to the right, which design guideline C3-2 respect adjacent residential neighborhoods specifically refers to. Here's the site. It's comprised of two mid-block lots with abutting rear lot lines. Western lot on the left, front southeast Ankeny to the north, contains a 1.5-story house that's proposed to be demolished, shown in red. The eastern lot on the right, front southeast 12th Avenue, and it currently sits vacant. Shown in orange are the adjacent existing houses. The site wraps two lots to the north, not owned by the applicant. Both contains houses constructed in 1904, and the remaining three lots south of the site contain houses constructed in 1894 and 1895 in the Queen Anne vernacular style. All have been identified as having potential historic and architectural significance, and the three to the south are listed on the City of Portland's Historic Resource Inventory, the HRI. And here's an image of the entire southeast 12th frontage with the three Queen Anne houses to the left, the site in the middle outlined in red, and two early 20th century houses to the right. So in terms of zoning context, the site zoned EXD, which is central employment with a design overlay showed in red above. Maximum allowances in the EXD zone are as follows. The FAR base allowance is 3-1, with a additional 3-1 residential bonus allowance available. Height base allowance is 50 feet max, with an additional general bonus allowance of 45 feet maximum. Across the street are the CS and CG zones, shown in yellow. Maximum FAR allowances are 3-1, and maximum height allowance is 45 feet. There's not a design overlay on that side of the street. The program's a six-story mixed-use building with 17 market-rate units, ground floor retail unit on Ankeny, with no parking or loading. The proposed height was approximately 78 feet, and the FAR was 4.93-1. These are the two street elevations of the proposal. Southeast Ankeny Street elevation is at the top, with adjacent 1.5-story shown on the house shown on the left, and adjacent 1-story commercial structure to the right. The southeast 12th Avenue elevation is below, with adjacent residential structures shown either side. So with regards to the process, there was a pre-application conference held on April 7, 2016. The Type 3 design review was submitted on June 7, 2016. It was deemed complete on August 5, 2016. The first through fifth design review hearings were held October 6, 2016 through February 2, 2017. And the decision was rendered. An appeal of the decision was received March 2, 2017. So at the first city council hearing, it was held on April 12th. The council asked the applicant to have two meetings, one with the Neighborhood Association and one with the adjacent neighbors. The Neighborhood Association meeting was held on April 20th, 2017. The majority of the attendees encouraged the applicant to consider reducing the height and the massing of the proposal. Second city council hearing was held May 11, 2017. The hearing was continued to allow the second meeting that had been requested. So the meeting with the adjacent neighbors was then held on May 11, 2017. Neighbors on both sides of the proposal attended. All encouraged the applicant to consider reducing the height and adding setbacks of at least 4 feet from their properties, from the property lines. So here we are at the third city council hearing, June 21st. This is just a quick diagram showing the evolution of the design from the first, second, and third design review hearings. No images are provided from the fourth and fifth hearings as the applicant did not submit further revisions after the third hearing. And the Design Commission found that the applicable approval criteria were not yet met. Therefore, the request was denied. As directed in the City of Portland's Planning and Zoning Code, a design review application will be approved if the review body finds the applicant to have shown that the proposal complies with the design guidelines for the area. So the following guidelines related to contextual response, coherency, and permanence and quality were found not to be met. A4, A5, C2, C31, C32, C4, and C5. So the decision of denial is being appealed. That's why we're here. So today, the City Council has alternatives. The first would be to deny the appeal and uphold the Design Commission's decision to deny the proposal. This needs a minimum of 3 votes and means a return date to take the final vote and adopt findings. Second option would be to grant the appeal today, overturn the Design Commission's decision to deny the proposal, thereby approving the proposal. This needs a minimum of 3 votes as well and means a return date to take final vote and adopt the findings. This requires that the applicant has submitted at the hearing a full set of drawings that illustrate how the proposal meets the design guidelines so that written findings can be made and the building permit submissions can be fully evaluated for compliance with the design review approval. Third option would be to continue the hearing and request design revisions to be reviewed at a return council hearing. This needs at least 1 return date to review drawings and then another return date to take final vote and adopt findings. This option may require a waiver of the 120-day clock, as the 120-day review period for this case expires on August 5th, 2017.
So I have a question.
I was just, thank you.
Commissioner Fish and then Commissioner Fritz.
So my understanding is that the applicant, in conversations with the neighbors, has agreed to make some changes, but we don't have a set of plans in front of us that reflect those changes.
That is correct. So the case record was closed on June 8th. On June 9th, the applicant submitted revised findings with a sketch diagram showing what they were thinking of doing, which was some setbacks and a height reduction. However, the record was closed at that time. You've opened the record back up, so that will be put into
the record, which means you can provide new information.
Yes.
But to be clear, if we receive new materials, then we have to hear from staff and the parties who want to respond to the new materials. And that is my understanding in terms of what you are now doing.
So that may explain why we've set aside an hour and a half for this hearing. So
correct.
So now that we've reopened the record, can you walk us through what changes the applicant has proposed to make to address the neighbor's concerns? Or do we have to ask the applicant that?
It was sent after the record was closed. As I understand it, it's a 4-foot setback on the south side and a 1.5-foot setback on the north side and a couple of feet reduction in the parapet height of the building. And that's, no drawings have been submitted to BDS, so BDS really can't comment on findings.
I understand. I'm not asking you to comment. I'm just asking you to walk us through it. And I understand there's also been have they proposed to change the materials?
That's correct. I heard, but I have not seen anything that they've proposed to change the cladding, the metal cladding on the sidewalls, to some type of wood cladding.
So therefore let me ask you a procedural question. You gave us 3 options. Can we go back to that slide for a second? Do you mind?
Not at all.
It should be up.
That one.
Yeah.
So, okay, we can deny the appeal. I understand that. We can grant the appeal contingent on the applicant submitting a full set of drawings and those drawings being reviewed by staff.
And counsel and findings being made that show that they meet the guidelines.
Okay, so I guess what would be helpful for me is, what is the difference between options 2 and 3 on this chart? What's the practical difference between granting the appeal with these conditions or continuing the hearing for the purpose of a further review of the revised proposal? What's the difference?
When you point that out, they're kind of one and the same in this case, because we don't have a set of drawings. So we would have to return to look at drawings anyway, because no drawings were submitted. No
so
changes.
One difference from your chart is that we may bump up against the 120-day clock. So that would require an agreement to extend that.
And they both would, as you pointed out, they're actually one and the same. So yes, either way, we're going to bump up against that clock because we're there are no.
So under either circumstance, staff, there would have to be plans submitted, they'd be reviewed by staff, and then we'd have a subsequent date to discuss whether they were sufficient to reach findings that we can adopt. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Thank you for you summed that up well.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Commissioner Fisher. Make very, very clear. If the applicant doesn't agree to extend the clock, then our choices are fairly stark because if we don't make a decision before August 5th, then it's deemed approved. Is that correct?
Yes, they could go and obtain approval by going to circuit court if we don't make a decision consistent with the timelines required by statute.
Right. So I guess I would like to hear from the applicant and neighbors what's being proposed, what do people think about what's being proposed, what was the result of the neighborhood meeting, because I can't really make a decision based on the options right now of what I know about the proposal at this point.
Very good. So we have now heard from the BDS staff. Do we want to hear from the appellant next? And legal counsel, question for you. During the first iteration of this hearing, we had supporters. We had a time certain for the appellant. We had time certain for the rebuttal to the appellant. We then had a group of individuals supporting the appellant and a group of individuals not supporting the appellant. Yeah. Tell me about this second phase, what's required.
So that pattern is not required in the second phase. I would recommend that you maintain a time frame, then everybody has the same time frame that testifies, and that they speak to new evidence to the extent possible. So that the time frame is consistent for anybody that testifies. I don't think you need to require them in any specific order.
And is that
order.
True of the appellant and the rebuttal or no?
The
10 minutes.
What's that?
Is it true of the appellant and the rebuttal or just for public testimony in support or opposition?
I think there is nothing that's specified in code in terms of this practice.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
So
I'm one step ahead of you. They say they need 10 minutes.
Yes.
So let's
and then
make
the,
it 10
and
minutes.
I would give 10 minutes to the appellant as well.
Good. Good.
We're making progress.
We are making progress, and we're going to get more of these at the city council. So at some point, we need to codify
a
process.
We'll be breaking for dinner and getting all your orders, and then we'll come
back right.
later. But
that's right. It's Taco
minutes.
Tuesday. All right. Go for it. 10 minutes, please.
All right. Thank you.
Names for the record.
For the record, representing the applicant, Tim Ramos, my office is at 2 Center Point Drive, Lake Oswego. I am here today with Bob Zimmerman from our architectural side of our team, and I am happy to report that we are here to present to you a compromise amended design. And that design is the product of a continuing conversation that took place after your last hearing and has proceeded for some weeks. The product of that has been some changes to the design. While I'm sure we'll find at the hearing whether we all agree to this or not, it is supported by the applicant and it's supported by the property owners to the south, Mary Roberts and Michael Beglin, who you will recall were opponents to this application in the earlier proceeding. We have, with them, entered into a formal settlement agreement, which refers to the design you're going to hear, as well as some other issues. We, of course, recognize that that agreement is dependent wholly on whether or not the City Council agrees with the design that we're going to present today. We very much appreciate the additional time that the council granted all of us to continue the conversation. And in particular, I also want to thank you for the encouragement that you gave to all the parties to work towards some sort of resolution of the issues rather than to all face the risks of what the consequences of continuing disagreement might be. I think that was very helpful to all of us. I'd like to express thanks to Grace Jeffries for organizing the mediation, to Clark Worth, who was very professional in conducting the mediation, and also to our neighbors who gave very willingly of a great deal of their time, both in the mediation and in the many conversations and exchanges of documents and ideas that followed it. So a great deal of time has been spent on that, and we very much appreciate it. Our plan is to first identify the issues as they were discussed at the first hearing, talk about the responses of the design to those, and then let our architect present those to you in more detail. The key issues, as you recall, were the massing of the building along 12th, which included questions of height and setback, the preservation of a residential streetscape, which has historically existed along 12th, and then the question of materials, where it was vividly pointed out to us that these homes there are made of wood. They're not made of metal and stucco, as our design was. Our key responses have been to reduce the building width from almost 30 feet to about 24 and a half feet in order to accommodate some setbacks. Our goal here was to recognize the historic spacing between structures on the street, which was roughly from 6 to 8 feet, and we've accomplished that.
So excuse me for just 1 second, and if
yes.
You could stop the clock. Do you have a diagram of this?
We have submitted
it
that,
be
and we will
to
show some additional drawings today, yes.
Because it would be easier for me to have it in front of me. If
yes, I think
possible.
Probably.
Is it on your screen now?
It's quite small on our monitor.
So. Oh, we have some handouts, so you can
thank
see
you,
it.
That would be very
yes.
helpful.
Thank you.
It's just easier to reference when you're saying
yes,
what you're saying.
I'm
we can have a look.
Also work in the same way.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's much better. Thank you.
Oh, much.
In terms of the size that I can see.
So you will see a redesign of the first floor that we'll talk about in more detail, but the building also includes setbacks, a reduced height along 12th, and in addition, we've shifted the lobby to Ankeny so that the 12th Street frontage is simply a single door accessing an apartment. So it's quite similar to all the other frontages of buildings along that street. And at the lower level, the cladding has been changed to wood to reflect the prevalence of wood in the structures along the street there. The net effect is that we are able to preserve this as a net zero building, although we are losing, I believe, 2 units of housing in making these changes because the building is slightly smaller.
So I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
On the diagram on page 2, the 12th Avenue perspective, June 21st, is everything that's depicted in brown, that is wood clad,
correct.
Is that correct?
That
right.
is correct.
Okay, very good. Thank you. That's helpful.
And with that, Mr. Zimmerman, please proceed.
Sure. So Grace has actually given a pretty good overview of the basic changes that we initially looked at trying to shift some of the mass from the 12th Avenue side over onto the Ankeny side. And after a couple of studies, realized that from both the cost and where we were up against the fire code, it was simply impractical to do this. So this is really a reductive exercise that we've gone through. So on the south side, coming out of the meetings both with the neighborhood as well as meetings with the neighbors, the south face of the building has been pushed up 4 feet. And, you know, one of those cases where you get lemons and you try and make lemonade, we are now using this as a fire exit, which enabled us that really to push the lobby around to the other side. And so at street level, this really acts like a single-family residence where there's a single door, and it goes into a single unit. So at the street level, it will operate quite similarly to the adjacent residences. On the north side, the building's been pushed back 1.5 feet, so there's a little over 7 feet between that and the adjacent building. And so we've essentially maintained the rhythm that there is across, quite frankly, most of Portland for these vintage homes of that kind of minimum shared setback that each residents gives to one another.
So could you just give me on each side what's the setback?
Sure. The setback on the south side is 4 feet, and on the north side it is 1.5 feet.
And what about the east and the west?
There is no setback on the east or the west. There's no change from design review 3, nor were there any concerns with those setbacks.
Thank you.
That were raised. So at the facilitated meeting, one of the issues that was identified that we were unaware of was that on the house to the south that Grace mentioned that was built in the late 1800s, the concrete wasn't as good back that time, so there was more concern about our construction practices. So we have jointly agreed to get recommendations from a structural engineer and have agreed to, in principle to change the foundation system from a vibrated ground improvement system to something that would be auger cast and much friendlier to the adjacent buildings. So then going to the second page, this shows the perspective from the 12th Street side. On the left was the submission for design review 3, and on the right are the changes. So the space between the existing house to the south and the building is increased from 4 feet to 8 feet, which has enabled us to put some windows into that elevation. We were actually able to go over with the neighbor and document the location of their windows and actually coordinate, so, because everybody has the same common interest. You want natural light into your spaces, but you'd also like to maintain privacy. So that actually worked out well for everyone.
And is that space consistent then between the other houses? You've got 8 feet of space now. What's on the other side of that?
I believe it's 7 feet. Our surveyors didn't get onto that
property.
Okay,
so your attempt here, though, is to be consistent in terms of the spacing.
Correct.
Okay, and it looks like you... okay, I got it. Good, thank you.
I mean, what we're trying to do there is recognize that historically it was about 6 to 8 feet of separation, and so we're trying to fall within that, 7 or 8 feet.
You know, I realize that design is a very subjective thing, and design by committee is probably a challenging thing, but for what it's worth, looking at page 2 of your thing, I think the reimagined building on the right is an improvement from my perspective, and the fact that it does seem more contextual. I love the fact you're using wood, and frankly, it's a little less Gary-ish on the left. You know, from the left, with it seems more integrated in the way that you've done the design. And frankly, I love the windows on the side, creating a more uniform look in terms of the building. So, I congratulate you on this one.
Thank you.
To me, it seems like a real improvement. We'll hear from everyone else, but it does seem much better.
Okay, and then going to the Ankeny side, here the massing itself has changed very little, but you can see at the street level that there's more glass, which reflects the switch of the lobby to that side, and then the wood wraps around, and we've essentially removed all of the stucco from the building. So, as Tim mentioned, we've reduced it by 2 units and about 1,000 square feet of rentable area, and we've gone down about 20 PV panels, which is kind of right at the practical edge of being able to meet the net zero.
So how many feet are there in the planter strip that's shown with trees in it going back towards the stairs?
All right, can you repeat that? I'm looking at the plan now. So
the one that's, I don't know which way is north, south, east, or west, but the one that
north is up.
North is up, so on the west side. That planter strip, which is shown with trees in it, how wide is that? On the right side of the red car.
Okay, I was looking at a floor plan, and you're looking at a perspective. Sorry.
Well,
she's looking at the elevation with the red Suzuki.
Right. So there was a discussion with the neighbor essentially actually on their property. And now let's go to the floor plan on the first page. So we have shown a 3-foot wide, or probably will in the end be 4 feet wide, which actually works well. If you look, there's an existing curb cut on the north side off of Ankeny that goes into a parking area. And so along that west edge, it's not very practical to use it anyway, so it was quite easy to add a planter strip that essentially would provide visual screening to the kind of mass of that building that would be fairly visible as you come down Ankeny Street.
So my question is, how wide is that planter strip, please?
It's drawn as 4 feet.
So in fact, it's probably going to be quite challenging to put trees in it.
I think with a columnar beach, that actually we wouldn't have that much trouble. But
okay.
And you said you'd reached an agreement with two parties.
Yes.
And which two parties are they on this?
They are the occupants of the home immediately to the south. They are Roberts and Beglin. And their representative is here to testify today.
So you have a legally binding settlement with them?
We do.
And so, Mr. Ramis, let me ask you, what practically is the difference? We have three options before us. I think we all understand what option one means for purposes of this proceeding. What is the practical difference in your judgment between options two and three? Granting the appeal subject to getting plans and those being reviewed and continuing the hearing.
It seems to me that what we've attempted to do is get us into the ability to take option two, which is to get a decision and get your direction to draft findings that support that decision. To that end, we have submitted drawings to the staff yesterday, a more complete set than you see here. And second, we've submitted a complete set of findings on each and every one of the criteria. So we're in good shape, I think, to develop a set of findings to support a decision should you favor this particular design option.
Okay.
Don't think a continuance is necessary from our point of view.
Okay.
Other than for the adoption of findings.
One of the concerns from the Design Commission was the open stairwells with no privacy for the neighbors in their backyard. I'm curious as to there's no change in that element.
So we explored enclosing the stairs, which was something that needed to be done when we shifted some of the area from the 12th Avenue side to the Ankeny side. It triggers an additional fire requirement that the stairs be enclosed. So the enclosure of the stairs, though, creates additional mass and reduces floor area. So that was actually part of why that exercise ultimately came to be not financially reasonable to do or impractical. So the stairs are still open.
Yeah, they don't seem to have been changed at all, but I was called out by the Design Commission as one of the reasons why it didn't meet the approval criteria.
With some of the commissioners, that was true.
But they unanimously denied the application.
All for different reasons.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Ramis, let me come back to another question. So this case is unique, at least during my service, because the design review process apparently left no one satisfied. And it comes to us for a decision. And it was our judgment that there should be a further process with the community, knowing that that might result in a deal that still doesn't go back to design review. And so help me with the policy question, because assuming council supported some deal here, assuming, and I have no way of knowing one way or another, are we, through this process, in effect, creating a precedent where someone can refuse to work with design, with the design commission, come to us, opt out, in effect, create a separate process through a community negotiation, and then have the council make the findings. And is that good policy?
Well, I wouldn't think it was good policy if somebody actually did that.
No, I should have said I offer this as a
right.
hypothetical.
I think the chances of someone making that work are limited because it will be obvious, I think, if someone did that. The record in this case shows, of course, an applicant that made continuous changes in the application and finally received a staff recommendation that was favorable based on a report that found that each and every one of the criteria were satisfied, and then decided to stand on that design and appeal that design here. So it's a different case than someone who simply fails to cooperate. It seems to me what you're raising is a possibility in any land use case in Oregon. We have a system that's essentially in two steps, where we typically have hearings officers or planning commissions decide the first step with an appeal to the electeds. And in any case, applicants could, I suppose, choose to be uncooperative. In my experience, which representing clients goes back close to 40 years now, most people that I've talked to don't want to take that risk.
So I'm going to try and put it just in plain English for me. So the insurance policy that the public interest is being met here ultimately lies with us. If we have said and sanctioned, if we have sanctioned a community mediation process to see if a deal can be worked out, we still have to be satisfied that that deal is in the public interest. But the fact is, as the reviewing body, we have the discretion to call this however we want.
I would agree with that, and add to it that whether the uncooperative party at the first hearing is an opponent or an applicant, they can't change the criteria.
Right.
So the case is decided by the appellate body, in this case the council, under criteria which are exactly the same. So those can't get manipulated.
Okay. Thank you.
With the 1.5-foot setback to the north, are you confident that you can physically develop the building without going on the neighbor's property?
We've discussed that with our contractor, and we think we can make that work.
And is the neighbor to the north part of the settlement agreement?
Not at this point. We have certainly made clear that we would be happy to enter into an agreement with them. At this point, we don't have that.
Okay.
All right. So in our view, the options are, one, to deny the appeal, which has the consequences we talked about previously of probably creating a new application next year under more intense criteria. Second, you could, I suppose, approve the original design that we came with based upon the findings of the staff previously. Or third, approve this design based upon the findings we have submitted and the drawings we've submitted already. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good.
Yep.
Thank you. So that was about 8 minutes. And so who would like to speak as the primary opponent? For the record, and they took a little less than 8 minutes, so we'll afford you 8 minutes.
Well, if nobody else will oppose it, I will.
My name is William Phillips.
I live, if you'll put that deal back up, I'm the house directly to the north of the building and the directly to the east of the building. In other words, I'm in the middle, right here. He's not giving the plans. They said, okay, he wants to give us a foot and a half setback. We have not agreed to any of that. There is no setback on the other section of building for our to our backyard, how are they going to propose to build that without damaging our yard? We've also heard nothing about compensations for any damages possible to our properties. And as far as talking to us about permissions or anything like that, Mr. Crowell has not done any of this, neither has his people, even though they say they have. We haven't been contacted. We didn't even know about these windows on the south side. All we knew is they were planning to give the south side a 4-foot setback and 1.5 foot for our side. We don't agree with this. And I don't see how they're going to build that building without disturbing our properties and making damages, and they think they don't have to make any compensations for this. I don't agree with this. That is not right for us.
Sir, were you given an opportunity to participate in the
mediation? And we tried to talk to him and about...
No, in the mediation.
In the mediation, yes,
and
we did,
did
sir.
You attend any of the mediation
yes, we
sessions?
Did. We were there for
so you
that.
Were a participant?
Yes, we were.
And did you not feel that your voice was heard through that process?
No, we did not feel our voices were heard. It seemed like the only voices they wanted to hear are the ones that were represented by a lawyer. I'm sorry, we can't afford a lawyer. We don't have one, so we try to tell them ourselves how we're feeling. But the main thing is, they're saying they approached us and talked to us about doing some of these things. The most we got from Mr. Crowell is when he came over to our front gate and dropped us off this re-proposal and stuff. And as far as talking to us about if we'd agree to this setback and not put anything in, I mean, if they're making changes, why aren't we included in any of the conversation on the changes?
So, sir, we weren't. I'm sorry if you did not feel heard in that process, and we have to sort through a lot of things this afternoon. Are you aware that under the comprehensive plan, if this was turned down, a future design could be, as the lawyer said, more intense, meaning a bigger, more dense development?
Yes, I do. I do. And I still say that the building as is does not meet the requirements. As your team of building commissioners here have been saying, it doesn't meet the requirements anyway. Even in this new proposal, it does not meet the requirements. It's got too much bulk. It's not giving the right setbacks. There's all kinds of things that are wrong with it. And how they go past your commission when your commission is supposed to be weeding these out and showing that, no, it doesn't fit the criteria. Like the gentleman over here said, none of us are supposed to be able to change that criteria. It's supposed to meet that criteria because that's the way the law of building was set up. Why are they getting around it?
Well, I think one answer is that the code allows them to come to council, and we have the right to make a de novo decision. I mean, agree or disagree with that policy. I have some qualms about it myself. So let me ask you this, sir. You've raised concerns about the possibility of damage to your property. There's a lot of cranes all over the city right now and a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, we have a legal system that says if there's a damage, then the wrongdoer has to compensate you. Do you have a different view of how to anticipate a potential damage to your property?
Oh, well, if they're going to be building on there, they're going to have to cut in and they're going to cut back, you know, to get the walls set up and everything like that. How far in are they going to cut? Are they going to knock down our fence when they cut in? You know, they want to come right up to the property line. Our fence is right close to that. If they damage that and knock it over, we're not going to have our fence. All we're going to have is a wall. I mean, do you want to look at a blank wall when you get out and your backyard for a nice barbecue or something? We like having the sunlight. We just ate raspberries out of our backyard. With this proposal, we won't have the sunlight to grow raspberries in our backyard. Our strawberries will die. Most of our roses will probably wither away because they won't have the sunlight. I mean, We've been working for the last few years just to give ourselves a little space so that we could live reasonably. This proposal will destroy what we have.
Thank you.
That's about all I have to say.
Thank you, sir.
I have another question.
Commissioner Fritz has a question for you, sir. Sir?
Sorry, I have another question.
Fritz had a question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know that you've been through all of the design hearings and such. Can you tell me more about what the concerns of the design commissioners were, particularly with respect to your property?
Can you say that again?
Sorry. Can you tell me any more about what the design commission focused on in respect for your property? What were some of the things that they were most worried about?
What were they most worried about? Seem like it's mostly the bulk and coming right into the property and the possibility of damages to our property and the existing. They are very old homes, yes, so you know they've been there a long time. The vibration, even from the buildings that they've put up across the street, are shaking our house. So the damages, the setbacks, the just having to look at a blank wall. We look out our windows. Okay, the neighbors to the south, they've worked with them for the new windows on the south side, right? They didn't talk to us about windows on the north side or getting the setback right and, you know, doing something more. We were never even involved in any kind of discussion for this. And I don't think that that's right. And I know they still had a while to talk to the Planning Commission to get before this hearing and everything else. But why were we left out of the loop on that? Why weren't we being considered a little bit more we're going to be more invaded than the south side. I mean, look at it. It's wrapping around our house.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just next to it. So there's – and not giving a setback on the inside of the other building so that it can be done in a way to where it'll look nicer inside. That wasn't discussed.
So what I'm hearing is that you would have liked to see something similar to what was worked out with the other neighbor, setbacks and windows and more consideration for how
yes.
to match your house.
Yes.
Thank you.
Not only our house, but the house to our north, which is owned by a doctor. I don't know why he hasn't come to meetings. I guess it doesn't bother him that much. So
that already has to work.
He just uses it as an office. So.
Right. Thank you very much.
Right.
Appreciate you being here.
That all?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
Supporters of the appellant?
So why don't we have...
I need my 2 minutes.
We'll give you your 2 minutes. Why don't we do this? Why don't we have supporters of the appellant come up first to do their... How many people want to testify? Let's see how many people there are first.
I show at least 2 people signed up.
Okay, so we'll give people a full 3 minutes this afternoon. So why don't we do supporters first for 3 minutes and then opponents second for 3 minutes each.
Okay, I have Garrett Stevenson and Kristen Malone.
To support.
For support.
Okay, very good.
Good afternoon. My name is Garrett Stevenson. I'm here with my colleague, Casey Safley. And you might remember us. We previously had been some of the primary opponents of the old iteration of this project, but I'm happy to report that I'm here today to testify in favor of the new iteration of Mr. Crowell's design. Again, we represent Mrs. Roberts. You know, as you know, we've vigorously challenged the past design for a variety of reasons, and to the extent that that design never comes to the fore again, of course, we would reserve all of the arguments in opposition to it we've submitted so far in writing. However, Mrs. Roberts, as well as her partner, Mr. Beglin, feel that this revised design is a huge improvement, particularly for three reasons. The first and probably the biggest reason is that they now have an additional 4-foot setback between their property line and the revised south building wall. Second reason is that there's been a reduction in height. It's going to add a lot of light and air, increasing their long-term quality of life. And then the third, I think, it sounds like we all agree that the addition of wood paneling to the exterior makes it a much more makes it a building that's a bit more consistent with the surrounding neighborhood. You know, this was the result of the process that I believe Commissioner Fish sort of spearheaded for us and thought up, and I believe in this case it was successful, and I want to thank the council for allowing us this time to work with the applicant, but I also want to thank in particular the applicant for being willing to compromise with us, as well as Grace Jeffries, who handled a very difficult case with aplomb, in my opinion. At this point, I believe you have either in the record or about to be in the record a narrative from Mr. Ramis explaining how this design meets the applicable criteria. I hope that you will review that, consider it carefully, and ultimately approve this new revised design, which, again, we support. I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you. Colleagues, any questions? Very good. Thank you, sir.
Those who oppose the appeal now.
And was there anybody else who wanted to speak in support of the appellant? Very good. Those who oppose.
I show four people signed up: Bill Phillips, Joy Lewis, and Priscilla Sturgis.
Thank you for your patience.
We'll go with Mary Sipe.
My name is Priscilla.
I'm sorry. Could you slide it towards
slide
you?
Slide it toward me?
Yeah, and Mary, is her green light on? Can you
it
see?
It is.
Very good. Thank you.
Your light's on. It's good.
Oh, okay. Priscilla Sturgis. Joy Lewis has laryngitis right now, so she may be skipping this. If you might not be able to hear her. This apartment building, and by the way, I own the place at 113 Southeast 12th. Where Bill and Joy live. Joy is my daughter. This apartment building still does not fit the neighborhood. We still have a 78-foot wall without an adequate setback. We're talking about 78 feet and about that between them. That's not sufficient. We still have no privacy or adequate light for our house and yard. We have no enforceable assurances in writing that we will not have damage to our house and the local water system from heavy equipment. We are not granting access to our property because of Mr. Crowell's vandalism in the past. I never gave him permission to tear down my legal fence, and in reality, I have never spoken to him in person or on the telephone. He has been very vacant. Please remember, net zero buildings in a wet climate are a liability to future taxpayers. We have a PCC building that is molding nicely or not so nicely in Newburgh because of that. Also, that destabilizing neighborhoods is a blight on Portland's future. Please give credence to your own PDC's committee recommendation to deny. Otherwise, you're undercutting their knowledge and authority. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mary Sipe. Last week I was here and I gave some public testimony on an appeal about a building in my neighborhood in regards to height. And when I gave that testimony, I said that this there were two key words that popped into my mind, and one of them was money. You know, the bottom line often that we end up talking about is money. And when we talk about height, increased height, We keep hearing about density. Density, so increased height equals density. Density equals more units. More units equals more money. And I think we need to keep that in mind when we're looking at the motives behind some of these buildings. The other word that I used was respect. And I think that's one of the things that we need to remember is, and I, from what I'm hearing here today, it sounds like there's not any demonstration of respect for the people that are going to be living in this neighborhood next to this building. And I find that really sad to see that. When we speak about things like this, we think, oh, yeah, you know, you're against development. And no, development and more housing is all good if it's managed properly. And I think the Design Review Commission is managing this incidence properly, and I hope you'll uphold it, their decision. Commissioner Fish, you mentioned when the gentleman expressed concerns about property damage during this construction phase. You know, there's noise issues, livability issues, as I've talked about here numerous times, the noise queen. You know, there is a legal process, but they shouldn't have to go through it. And it brought up something for me, again, pile driving, but when they did the what they call the crossover out at Dundee, the homes out there, a bunch of really nice new big homes. When they did the pile driving, some of those homeowners experienced over $40,000 worth of damage to their property as a result of the pile driving. And they filed a claim with ODOT. They were denied. Wasn't caused by our work. They sued them. It was denied. So there's a legal process, but that doesn't give you any guarantees at all unless you have some kind of an agreement up front. And so I just want to throw that out there also as a consideration. So, again...
Mayor, let me just say that I used to, before I moved, I used to live in a house in Grant Park, and my next-door neighbor had a little bungalow, and she sold it. It was torn down and replaced by kind of a monster house. And it took about a year of that process that we lived across from it. It had a big set of changes, how our house interacted with that house, and there was a lot of noise and other associated impacts. So I'm sensitive to those questions.
Yeah.
I'm also, though, you know, at the same time, we have an official policy to encourage greater density and more development to accommodate more people, and I think we have to be careful about not necessarily imposing on an ad hoc basis requirements on one developer that doesn't go to another. You're raising broader questions about how we deal with sound, for example, pile driving. And the council's taken up some of those bigger questions. I think it's harder when we look at it as sort of an individual by individual case trying to for us to craft mitigation measures, particularly anticipating damage, because it's not the typical way our legal system works, yeah. Even though I agree with your sentiments.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah, I totally appreciate that. I think there are things, you know, for the developer to think about as they're trying to be hopefully a good neighbor through this process. And I understand, you know, the criteria is the bottom line, but in any event, there's always two sides to every situation. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Unless Bill Phillips is here, that's all who I have signed up.
May we invite Commissioner Malone to come and give her opinion?
I've already talked, so I'll just let it stand at that.
Okay, thank you, sir. Sorry,
Commissioner. May we invite Commissioner Malone from the Design Commission to give her opinion?
Come on up.
She's from the CRC, I think.
Yeah, I just do CRC.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She's here as a friend of the appellant.
However, she did stay in a Quality Inn last night.
Oh, dear.
Actually, you have a very successful track record of persuading this council on hard issues. So I welcome your perspective.
Okay, I think I would say that my perspective is pretty much in line with Commissioner Fish, which is, you know, you change the policy for how a neighborhood is going to look, and you do it with this kind of removed, you know, 30,000 feet. Perspective about, you know, this is what is objectively good for the plan of the city and for how the city goes forward, and it's always going to be really difficult when the rubber meets the road and a neighborhood is changing and those policies are going into effect and they're affecting individual people. So I guess I would just say that the tough thing here is kind of separating sympathy for the difficulty